Thank you for joining us this week. I'd like to talk to you about God's building process. Now, God wants to build in our heart. What is it that He wants to build? His kingdom. Within His kingdom is peace, love, joy, and many more fulfillments that each of us would like to have. As in this earthly life, when someone wants to build something, they are required to get a building permit before they can begin construction. When it comes to God building within our heart, He has to first get a building permit also. And that building permit comes from us. He cannot build inside of us unless He gets this permit. Why? Because God made all humans like Him with a free will. Even though God can do anything, He still must have permission from us before He is able to do anything within us. We give God a permit to give us the new birth when we ask Jesus into our heart. God cannot make us receive it. He gave us the free will to choose Him or to refuse Him. Choosing Him gives Him the right to our heart. So God must get a permit through our permission in order to build within our heart. When we go to our city or county courthouse and apply for a building permit, we must have plans pre-made concerning a piece of our property, or we will not receive a permit. We cannot just walk into the building permit office and get a permit unless we present the plans for our building first. These plans may be called a site plan or a plot plan. It shows specific plans for every square foot of the property, whether something is to change or stay the same. The site or plot plan presents the vision of the builder to add to or take away from what is currently there at the site. God already has the plans drawn out in His heart, and He can start building as soon as we receive Jesus into our heart. By giving our life to God, we give to God everything we have, and He, in turn, presents plans to improve what's already there. If we agree, then He can start to dig and uproot anything that is in the way of building. There may be a shack in the exact spot where God wants to build a very nice house. He would have to remove every trace of that shack in order to start fresh in the building process. He may have to cut down and uproot anything that has grown where He needs to pour the foundation of His building in our heart. In our lives, we may have built and planted a lot of things in the spot where it made sense at the time, but now God must tear it down in order to make something more wonderful in its place. Proverbs 3 verse 5 says, "To trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and not to lean or depend on your own understanding." God knows so much more than we do, so it would be important for us to listen to Him and just to trust in His creative ability inside of us. After all, He created the whole universe, which is so immense that mankind cannot measure it. Since God can do that, doesn't it make sense that He can build something just as spectacular and beautiful inside of us? It sure does. Now, sometimes there may be an occasional plant or bush that is special to us. We may not want to uproot and kill it. The plan designer for our property may suggest that it be moved to a different spot. In our heart, it may be something that God does approve of, so He will relocate it to another part of our heart. Let's use money for an example. It may be other things, though, like a person, a feeling, or anything like these. Whatever God has approved of for our life, we may have put them in a spot where they should not have been planted. He will move it in order for it to be blessed and blossom in our life. Using the example of money, having money is in itself not a sin. God designed it as a form of exchange to trade one thing for another. The problem is that many have made it the source of their life. They may make money the strongest desire of their heart. They depend upon money to gain anything and everything in their life. They may use it incorrectly in order to gain happiness and fulfillment. 1 Timothy 6 verse 10 says that the love of money is the root of all evil. God has designed money to be our servant and not our master. God is our master. Money is supposed to be our means of making an exchange and not in trying to gain happiness and fulfillment through it. Only God can provide this for us. Many have planted money in the wrong place in their heart. This is like someone putting the garage in the best spot on the property and their house in a less desirable spot. No, the house is supposed to be in the best spot and the garage gets another place. The house is most important. The garage complements the house and not the house the garage. God may move the garage of our heart to another place or just build another garage in a different spot. If you are wondering how this applies to the example of money in our heart, God may change the means of your income to another means. Instead of getting paid from someone who or somewhere that is gaining their income through sinful ways, God may give you another job or a skill that you can use as a source of income that doesn't keep you up at night because it has troubled your mind with its sinful ways. Now, God's plans for building are precise and exact. He knows where the foundation is to be poured, what is to be built on top of that foundation, and what materials to use in building. If we have any doubts as to His qualifications of being our contractor, we just need to look at the first two chapters of the book of Genesis and see that His grand design has put everything into its proper place, and it will function in order with everything else in perfect harmony. Whatever He wants to build in our heart will work in harmony with everything else. We don't have to stress over whether this or that will work properly, because what God builds will be of the highest state of the art when it comes to construction. In fact, it will be so far advanced that we may not understand why or how He built it the way that He did. We should have such trust in Him that we believe His design plan for our heart and life. In the natural, some of the obstacles in preparing to build would include the following: unlevel ground, organic vegetation that has taken over, debris or junk, and sand. The unlevel ground represents a problem when it comes to building because the foundation must be level in order to evenly hold the weight of the structure that will be built upon it. In Luke chapter 3, Jesus, when quoting Isaiah, said, "The valleys will be filled, and the mountains and hills made level." A valley may be a place where it is shut off from other places because of cliffs. It is inaccessible because it cannot be entered. Also, the mountains and hills represent places that are more difficult to climb. In effect, Jesus was saying that life will be easier to handle with even ground instead of valleys, mountains, and hills. What was very difficult before may be more level as we walk. God wants to level out our lives by placing His Holy Spirit within us, who will help make the hard places smoother by moving what would be the excessive weight of one area to fill in the inaccessible area that we could not go to before. What does that mean for us? It means that when we cast the excessive weight of care from one thing over into the Lord's hands, as 1 Peter 5 verse 7 says, He, in turn, fills in the valley so that we can walk across it with ease, no matter what lies the devil may be throwing at us in this life. God makes things easier by leveling out our life and building upon what He has made level in our heart. Another obstacle is when organic vegetation has taken over a part of our heart. There's nothing wrong with organic vegetation, but it can overgrow and overtake an area on our property and restrict our ability to move about freely without tripping over a vine or a piece of a limb that fell on the ground and cannot now be seen because of the weeds that have overgrown. This overgrown vegetation may be a spot in our heart where something can hide that would interfere in our walk with the Lord. It could be a device of Satan 2 Corinthians 2, verses 10 through 11 say that we should forgive so that the devices of Satan would not take advantage of us. The devil loves to hide his devices underneath overgrown vegetation in our heart. What may look beautiful on the outside is where the enemy may be hiding and ready to strike, like a snake, as we pass by the edge of the overgrown area. We should always be willing and ready to forgive anyone so that we will never provide an area from which Satan may hide and strike us and others when we pass by. Ephesians 4 verse 26 says that we should be angry and sin not. We should never let the sun go down while we are still angry. This overgrown vegetation could cover up ungodly thoughts or feelings. We should trim them back, as property developers would do before building, and expose anything that may be lurking inside of them. That way, we can deal with it by expelling it out to another place, preferably back to hell where it came from to begin with. Then we have the obstacles of debris or junk. This may be pieces of another building, an old car that is not being used anymore, unusable lumber, or any other thing that is no longer usable and just needs to be hauled away to a dump. Things like this must be taken off of the surface of the ground before any excavating can begin. In our heart, there may be junk. This could be leftover feelings that traumatize us when they are brought to our mind again. This could also be feelings of resentment or hatred towards someone. This junk could also be past failures in our life. None of these things can be built upon or around. This junk must be removed. There must be what's called good dirt to build upon. Good dirt is free from debris and anything else that keeps the ground from packing together, making a solid form. We must get rid of the junk in our heart if we expect the Lord to build inside of us a lasting foundation that doesn't cause stress upon the blessings which He wants to build in our life. And when I say blessings, I'm not referring to any tangible goods, but spiritual blessings. Ephesians 1 verse 3 says, "All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ." These blessings include love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, and more, as Galatians chapter 5 verses 22 to 23 state. We wouldn't want junk in our spiritual foundation that could weaken the effects of these things. It would hinder our walk with the Lord and make life on this earth less pleasant. It's time to have a long talk with our Lord and let Him clear out the debris from inside of us that we don't need. If it takes a little while to dig out and dispose of, it will definitely be worth being patient for God to clear out of our heart what does not belong. Now let's look at one final obstacle when it comes to preparing to build, and that is sand. Sand is unlike ground because it does not have the bonding agents in it that would make it hard like dirt and be solid enough to support a foundation. It may appear like it can be solid enough, but over time, water can wash away the sand and cause breaks to appear in the foundation. In some cases, the damage could be so bad that the building may suffer major damage from a broken foundation that is under constant strain from being broken into many pieces and its strength compromised. In the worst cases, the building may collapse. Sandy soil in our heart is anything based upon earthly principles and that alone. Trying to depend upon our natural senses is unreliable when it comes to something that lasts forever. Depending instead upon heavenly principles is doing what Hebrews 11 verse 1 says, because we would in our heart have the substance of things that we hope for and the evidence of things that we do not see. The heavenly realm is eternal. The earthly realm is temporary. To depend upon God and His eternal power is to have a solid or firm and unyielding ground to build upon. To depend upon what we experience in this earthly life is to have a sandy or eroding ground to build upon. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27, Jesus used this illustration to show us that a sandy or shifting ground in our heart cannot be built upon because it would cause total destruction all around. We must base our living, both here and in eternity, upon the everlasting Word of the living God, who made both this universe and us. Now, with the obstacles out of the way that prevent God from building in our heart, the construction may begin. The next step is to stake out the place where the foundation will be. Measurements are to be precise so that there will be no error. When the trenches are dug and the foundation is poured and hardened, it cannot be cut, adjusted, and repoured. The foundation must remain as a whole piece and not broken up. In Romans 15, verse 20, Paul said that he would avoid preaching where someone else was already preaching, so that he would not try to lay a foundation where another foundation was already laid. He said this because he wanted to avoid trying to interfere with the work of another minister. Doing so would be catastrophic to the work of Christ. The whole foundation of Christ should be laid by one, so that the foundation of the Lord would be whole and together and not broken up. A foundation must be poured all at one time. I've never seen a construction company pour only a part of a foundation today and the rest tomorrow. It is all done in one time, no matter how long the work day will be, in order to form one solid and strong foundation for to build upon. Do you have a pastor who is pouring the foundation of the Lord into your heart? As long as they are preaching Christ and not man-made ideas of Christ, stick with that one person and let them pour the whole foundation. Don't let them pour only a part of it, then let someone else do the rest. Be dedicated to your pastor and let him or her finish the work of Christ that he or she started. After the foundation is poured, time must be given so that the foundation can be hardened. In our heart, this would be done by hearing, studying, and acting upon who Christ is and what he has done. After a while, his foundation in your heart would be solid and dependable. You would be able to let the Lord begin to build his glorious structure inside of you. Now, if you've ever seen a foundation that is poured, you will notice some bolts rising up from around the edges of the foundation. These are called anchor bolts. What these anchor bolts do is keep the attached frame of the building from shifting sideways and off of the foundation. If that were to happen, then the whole structure would eventually be so damaged that it could collapse. Everything that we let God build in our lives must be anchored to the foundation of Jesus Christ. There is no other foundation to anchor to that will hold us together when the storms of life get rough. As Jesus was saying in Matthew chapter 7, the foundation will keep the storms from destroying the house, even though the waves may beat hard against it. All of us must never depend upon the structure of the building that God builds within our heart, even though what he builds is indestructible. But we should be anchored to and depend upon the foundation, Jesus Christ himself. He will hold everything in place, for the foundation strengthens the building, making it stronger on every side. Now, let's start to imagine that the foundation is hard and strengthened, ready to build upon. Going back a few years, the first brick to be laid was called a cornerstone. This cornerstone was the most important of all to be laid because the rest of the base wall depended upon the accuracy of this first stone. It had to be aligned with the foundation and leveled in order to assure the accuracy of being built upon. If it were not aligned with the foundation, then the wall would be laid away from the center of the foundation, causing it to not be in the most supportive place, and it may not be able to bear the weight of the whole structure. Also, if it were not leveled, then the foundation wall would be built uneven and the structure would lean. This could cause too much stress on the structure and eventually it could fall over. Christ is both horizontally and vertically accurate. As he is the foundation, so he also is the chief cornerstone, as Ephesians 2 verse 20 says, letting God place Christ first in every aspect of the building process gives us the very best quality of construction. He should be first in every area of our life. Now, this verse in Ephesians talks about other cornerstones as being the apostles and prophets. There can be other cornerstones in our life, such as a Christian mentor who should be an elder in the body of Christ. An elder should point to and speak of Christ as the chief cornerstone while giving glory to God. We need such people who will live what God and His Son Jesus Christ are saying to do. People like this can make good cornerstones as long as they are shaped and formed like our Lord and Savior. When the foundation walls are built, we can start to see the frame of the building rising up rapidly. From everything I've seen in construction, this phase appears to be the most rapid. We may be traveling home one day, passing a construction site with only the foundation, then the next day pass by it and see most of the frame already erected. Most of the time, the framework is assembled together on the ground, then hoisted into place by a crane or other machinery. The frame is joined together by multiple nails and bolts. This gives extra strength to the frame. All of the lumber is joined together piece by piece, and each wall of the frame is attached together with nails, bolts, and even corner pieces. Every part of the frame is attached at multiple points. Some may think that too much adjoining would be unnecessary, but the more adjoining there is, the stronger it will be. The framework that the Lord is building is attached together with His love. Colossians 2 verse 2 says that our hearts are knit or united together with God's love. Ephesians 3 verse 17 says that we are rooted and grounded together in God's love. You and I cannot have too much of the love of God in our heart. Too much is impossible. With the frame up and joined together, we can see where the windows and doors will go. We can even walk around inside of the frame and see the size of each room. Excitement starts to build up inside of us, and we are more than eager to see the end result. When God starts putting the pieces together in our life, we can get even more excited than before. But at this point, we do not want to settle and say that what we have is enough. There are still many things that need to be done. We need the roof, the wiring, the outside and inside walls covered, paint, windows and doors, just to name a few things. From time to time, it's good to remember where we have come from and where we are going in this journey with God, so that we do not get discouraged and give up, settling for what we have. Halfway through is not the place to get restless or discouraged. That would be dangerous to the construction project. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, because in this phase of building, challenges and setbacks mostly occur. You may experience bad weather, which could delay the process. You may also realize that you don't have the correct supplies or equipment for the jobs to be done yet. God would not give us the incorrect supplies or equipment, but we could get sidetracked with sin and miss something in the building process that causes delays or setbacks. Always, always let the Holy Spirit give you a self-check. 2 Corinthians 13 verse 5 says that we should examine ourselves, whether we are in the faith, that our faith is genuine. The devil loves to throw in a little something in our heart that we should not have. It may be disguised as a blessing, but it may be a shortcut that can cause us pain and suffering. We must be in constant communication with our Father in heaven so that the corrections may be made with only a little inconvenience in order that they will not stop the building process. No matter how easy doing anything differently will seem, There are some consequences for easy that are not so easy to take or correct. James chapter 1 verse 12 says, "Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life which God has promised to those who love him." God can work better in us when we make sure that nothing is coming between us and him. Step by step, we must continue, and we should not get impatient. The more detailed instructions come at this point, and we must slow down to ensure that they are all followed. Inspections are regular and sometimes tedious, but they happen to make sure that we have not installed something that could be dangerous to the structure or even to ourselves. Eventually, with patience, the finished work will be completed. We will need one final inspection before moving into our new building. If anything is found, it should be fixed immediately. If we are sure that God is done building, then we should let him inspect the completed project to make sure that there is nothing incorrect. Psalms 26 verse 2 says, "Examine me, O Lord, and prove or test me." We don't need to be afraid of what the Lord finds. Just because he may find something, that doesn't mean that we have failed. It just means that he loves us enough to help us get rid of the problem so that we can enjoy what he has given to us. What he can give to us in our heart is better than any house or building we could ever enjoy in this earthly life. Hebrews 9 verse 11 tells us that God makes things that are greater and more perfect, not being made with human hands. This is not to say that mankind cannot make beautiful things on this earth, but for those who go to heaven, everything on this earth will pale in comparison to what we will see and experience there. Beginning within us, God is already building a greater and more perfect tabernacle so that he can live within us and we can enjoy his presence in our heart with style. Are we giving God the permit so he can start to build his kingdom within us? Jeremiah 22 verse 13 says, "Woe unto him who builds his house by unrighteousness." Are we attempting to build with our own righteousness, or are we letting God build with his righteousness? We cannot do this nearly as good as, and definitely not better than, God. So it would be a smoother and more productive process if we would just learn to let God have his way, even if we do not understand what he may be doing inside of us. Just remember that something great as God building inside of your heart may take time. Things that take time are usually greater than what comes right away. In Genesis chapter 6, Noah spent up to 75 years building the ark. Joseph waited 40 years for his dreams to be fulfilled. Moses spent 40 years in the wilderness before God called him to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. Jesus spent 30 years preparing for a 3 1/2 year ministry. The greatest of all-time preparation, in the eyes of mankind, was that of God's plan to redeem us from the effects of unrighteousness. From the time that Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden to Jesus' birth was around 4,000 years. Don't be afraid nor discouraged because you might have to wait for a promise from God to be fulfilled in your life. We will spend a lifetime on this earth letting God build inside of us. But it is better to begin now, and then we can say with assurance, "I may not yet be where I should be, but thank God I am not where I used to be." 2 Corinthians 6 verse 2 says, "The right time is now. Now is the day." Let God start building now. It will be worth going through the whole process to get something so much better and everlasting than we could ever build on this earth. Heavenly Father, I pray that everyone listening would give you permission to build in their heart what you have desired and designed to make. May they hold on to the promise that you are faithful and true to do what you have said you would do. And may they have the patience to let you do so. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.